Welcome to Wired for Wealth, the podcast for ambitious people with a wild side. If you feel there's way more to your vision for success than just the money, and you want to create a life of financial freedom and fulfillment where joy comes first, then you're in the right place. I'm Abby Rogers, therapist, mentor, and expert on all things mindset, subconscious, and manifestation. And I'm here to help you create anxiety-free, stress-free freedom and wealth that aligns with your soul. Let's dive in. So, delighted to be speaking today to Claire Sweet. So, Claire changed her career from pharmacy, and basically she's now very well ensconced in the world of finance. She's a financial advisor and money coach, and she's built this business basically from zero and now lives in her dream home with her alpacas and has created a lovely version of success for herself. So welcome, Claire. Great to have you here.
Yes, it's great to be here. Lovely to chat.
So tell us a bit more about that journey and about where you started out and about your business now and how you kind of got there.
Well, I suppose I was somebody who at school just went through and followed a traditional career path. I went to a grammar school. We were all very much encouraged to go to university and to get a career. And at that point, nobody had ever spoken to us about any pathways that were open to you that didn't involve getting a degree. And certainly running a business was something I'd never even considered. I didn't even know businesses existed, really. I mean, I knew that there were people that you got round to the house to do jobs that your parents would phone a plumber or whoever. But I didn't realise there were other types of things that you could run as a business. To me, the world was just full of, I suppose, the big corporates who all did these things. And that was where you would go to do it. The idea of owning or running a business, I'd never even considered. And much as I enjoyed pharmacy, you know, as a way to work with people, it's amazing. And the science part of it was great. And there were so many things I did like. What I didn't like was the restrictions on my time, having to work those full time hours, not being able to take time off to, you know, go and see my daughter at school plays and that type of thing. And over time, it became more focused on sort of the sign-ups, the corporate pressure, the stuff, and less focused on the customer experience. And I suppose that's where my heart was, because I love the relationships that I have with my clients. And then I started to think that I needed to do something else that would give me more flexibility around the children. And I wasn't quite sure what that was or what that would look like. And then one day I woke up with this idea in my head. So a dream. Literally a dream, whether you see that as, like, you know, a universe or a message from God or whatever it was. And I ended up on Google looking at ways to train to become a mortgage advisor. And I don't know why, it was just something, you know, I had my own home, I was good at numbers. And I thought, do you know what, this might be good. I had a guy who did my mortgage, who worked from home, who'd come out to me in an evening after work and helped me do my stuff. And I thought, I could do something like that.
Excellent.
And that's basically where it started. So I did the training for that. Then I did the training to become a financial advisor to do insurance, sort of the next level on from insurances and mortgages to do pensions and investments, that type of thing. And yeah, it's been about 15 years now. The money coaching and sort of wealth strategy came into it. It'd always been there, but it was sort of an aspect of what I did that I didn't get paid for. It was all those helpful suggestions, the leading people in the right direction, the giving them the worked out solution on the back of a handout, and then hoping that when the time was right, they would come back to me. And I suppose once I became more used to being in the online space and saw how coaches and experts and consultants run their businesses, I realized that there was actually a gap and that people were looking for a reliable source of financial education rather than just going down that Google rabbit hole, coming up with so many different options and opinions and not knowing which way to turn. But also sort of backed up by somebody who has got some professional qualifications behind them, because there are a lot of people in the wealth space online who are talking about what worked for them, which is amazing. But the world of finance moves very, very quickly. Even in the 15 years that I've been part of it, I've seen some dramatic changes on everything from buy-to-let properties and mortgages all the way through to pensions and inheritance tax. And by working with somebody who's up to date, I think it gives you, you know, that advantage. So, yeah, I love what I do. I live a very busy life. I work 4 days a week, although we were talking about that today. by the time I look at, the social media posts that I do in my pajamas in the morning and what time I actually get out of the office and how many lunch breaks I really take, I'm probably working near enough full-time hours, but I do it in a way that works for me. And that's the flexibility. So, when it is the school holidays, if I want to take a day off, I can. If, I've got that flexibility, which I think is worth more to me than the money itself. It's about, having that level of control and flexibility.
Absolutely. It's making it work for you, isn't it? And like when you're really passionate about your business as well, it's kind of easy to find that energy to go at it solidly for a few days, isn't it? As long as you do get that flexibility when you need it. And it's really nice to have that kind of marriage of things. And there's a lot of talk about ease in the online world and about kind of like working less hard and so on. And yes, that's important, but some of us just love it as well.
And I think the other thing is it's about choice. So, I mean, I generally don't work Fridays, but this Friday I am working, but then I'm taking a day out of the business tomorrow to do some other things instead. So it's that sort of element of choice, but also the feeling that I'm going to work because I want to, not because I have to. And yes, I might sit there on my phone in the evening and do a social media post or be chatting with a client or whatever, but I'm doing it and loving every minute of it rather than doing it and feeling like I have to because it's part of a deadline. And exactly what you said, when you're passionate about what you do, your brain doesn't switch off as an entrepreneur because you've always got these ideas. I think in some ways I come into the office in the morning and I speak to the ladies I've got working with me and I'm like, I've had this idea. And you can see the look on their face thinking, oh, God, what has she come up with now? Because these ideas come to you and you think, oh, that might be worth it. And yeah, because it can be so exciting. There are so many opportunities out there. And you get to meet people all over the world. It's just brilliant.
Exactly. And it's lovely. And I love how you initially like this all happened because of one moment, just having this one thought that kind of led on to the training and then the whole journey snowballed from there. And that's so often the case. And I think in our businesses, like and lives and careers as well, it's just that like 1 minute we have this thought flash in, that inspired thought, and the whole thing just takes off from there. And it's good to listen to those nudges, and we do need downtime, we do need to decompress and have those moments where we're just with the family and so on, and not like not thinking about work all the time. But when we are in work mode, it's nice not to break the cycle, isn't it? And just to kind of let that keep going when.
I mean, I'm very much someone who likes to keep going until I'm finished. I like to get that sort of sense of completion of feeling like I've actually got something bottomed out and done, which is good. But I think also it's about taking that action when you are inspired to do something, because I could have so easily, woken up that morning and thought, oh yeah, but people like me, I couldn't do anything like that. This is the career I've chosen. I've been to university, I've done 3 years of studying on this, I've done training. I am, I'm in a job. And to be fair, when I left the corporate world, I had quite a lot of people say to me, why would you give up this, whatever it was, 35, 40 grand a year employed job with a solid company and all the perks that come with to go and become self-employed? Why would you do that? And it's not about being able to earn more, although, yeah, that has been the case. And if I'd have stayed in that role, I don't see that I'd have ended up here with alpacas in my garden, living this lifestyle that I do. But it's more about the flexibility and the choice, and the people that you can work with, the people that will get a great result, but also who want to work with you and take the action. You don't get stuck in a room with people who don't want to be there anymore. And I think we've all been to those corporate meetings that, could have been an email. So
Yeah, absolutely. Good to do it your own way. Good to listen to the nudges when they come, good to make room for them. Also good to follow it all through to the end and to the right conclusion for you. And that's exactly where you are now. Fab. So what's life like with alpacas? Are they well behaved?
Yeah, I mean, the alpacas are actually really easy to care for. I think the biggest sort of hurdle we have is just over the winter period because it is that prolonged rain and mud. Being outside at 6:30 in the morning with your, pajamas and your welly boots and your bobble hat out, sort of, clearing out alpaca shelters and feeding animals and stuff because, they don't know it's a weekend or a bank holiday or Christmas Day or any other day. So you get up and you go and do the thing that you do. And the outside space takes quite a lot of care and attention. And one of the things that we made the decision to do as part of me going into business, quite a long time ago now, probably more than 10 years ago now was that actually my husband became the stay-at-home parent. And I was the worker, and that worked better for our income model than trying to juggle my work around when he was free for childcare and all of that type of thing. But what that's meant is, as the children have got older and need less input, is it's meant that as we've come to this property where we've got 4.5 acres, he can be outside, you know, cutting down trees and mowing lawn and mending fences and doing all of those things that I couldn't do. And without him, I would have to pay someone to do. You know, because it's a lot of work. You know, people often come over in the summer and they look at it and they're, oh, it's so idyllic. You've got beautiful gardens and look at the animals grazing and all these other things. And yeah, they don't always see sort of the bit that goes on behind the scenes. But I do love it. The alpacas are amazing. They are creatures that are generally very mellow, but they've each got their own personalities and they're all different in their own way. And yeah, they're my fuzzy boys. They're just babies. They're just Yeah, they're pets like any other pet. They're just bigger and yeah, it's like a different type of upkeep. But they are lovely and yeah, they're not in the field that I can see at the moment. So where I sit on my desk, I've got a cabin in the garden, and when I look out over my laptop, they can be in that either that field or there's another one. They're in the other one at the moment, but it does mean that sometimes we can actually see them from the office, which is great.
Cute, like constant reminder of everything you've worked for as
Yeah.
well,
Yeah,
which
and it's surprising how many clients that I used to have to go out to visit at home can now suddenly get to the office, you know.
Curious. So was that quite a difficult decision when you decided your husband was going to change his career and you were going to be the main focus in terms of work and bringing the money, or?
I suppose it was a decision we made because at that point, I think my business was much newer and we could both see the potential as to what could happen. And at the time, you know, although he was working, he wasn't sort of really in a career. He was between jobs. He'd ended up as a bus driver, which he'd done for much longer than he planned. But bus driving, as it goes, is not particularly well paid. It's a lot of hours outside the house because of where they put your brakes and things. So actually, you know, he could be out of the house for 12, 15 hours and only being paid for 10. And when we looked at sort of how much time he was out against the money that was coming in, we were looking at it thinking, how much easier would it be for me to earn that money per week? What would I have to do to make up the shortfall? And we realized that quite quickly, I wouldn't have to do much more than I was doing. But if I wasn't then trying to juggle appointments round when I had childcare and when I didn't, I would be able to have, yeah, more opportunities to speak to clients. So it worked quite quickly. I think he had, you know, a few sort of mindset issues over it at the start because, you know, he'd worked since he left school and had always had earnings coming in and that type of thing. And from my point of view, yeah, I mean, it does put you under a different sort of pressure. Because, you know, when you realize that, you know, yours is the only income, and ultimately, if you don't do the thing, you don't get paid. And I know there are things that we can put in place that will work with that. But yeah, it can sort of mess with your head a little bit. And when you have those weeks or months where the income isn't quite what you want, and yet you know, well, I don't earn it, no one else is earning it, it can put you under that sort of pressure and give you that sort of self-talk that gives you that little bit of a wobble. But I think it's just, yeah, it's just what worked for us. Increasingly, I see a lot of people that I work with where they end up in a situation where one person is either not working at all to be at home or with the children or whatever, or is pursuing a passion project that doesn't pay them a lot. You know, I always describe it as the thing you wanted to do when you left school that your mum told you wasn't a proper job. That thing. Because, you know, if you've got one partner who's earning good money, then the other one, if they're only earning 400 or 500 pound a month, it doesn't necessarily matter if that's what works for you as a family unit. So yeah, I think there's so many opportunities these days. And every week I meet people who tell me what they do for a living, and I'm like, what? And you get paid for that? And stuff that I had no idea was even out there. It's just
It's quite
amazing.
helpful. Going back to your story, talking about doing training in pharmacy, doing the proper career route and all of that, first it very much resonates with my story. I did exactly that, the whole university thing, career in optometry, so eyes. And yeah, that, well, I locumed and then I had my own practice for a number of years, but it was very much the kind of traditional route. And I think So many people have now realized, like, choosing your whole life's path at 17, 18 years old, it's just impossible. And many people have ended up kind of doing things that, oh, they're good, but they're not necessarily them through and through. And there is, as you say, so much more opportunity to just explore and to create a business or a life from almost anything and everything these days. And it's that kind of like grit and determination that you're just going to do it and make it work that actually will see you through and we'll get you there at the end of the day. And it sounds like you've really
It's
grabbed
just the
onto that and took
excitement,
it.
it's the possibilities and all the things you can do. And I love the fact that the work that I do with the clients at whatever way I'm doing it, whatever level, there are those conversations you have where you see that light bulb go off in someone's head where for the first time they finally get it. And that is the biggest buzz that you can get in business. I think it is when you just realize that you've had this impact on people through something that you find quite straightforward and easy to do, but actually has a massive impact elsewhere. I think one of the things that we often forget as business owners is when we are operating in our zone of genius or whatever it is they call it these days, the latest buzzword, because you do that thing and you do it well and you do it almost without thinking, sometimes it can be hard to remember that other people don't get that. And that, sometimes we can be guilty of sort of not shining our light and not actually realizing what a big deal we are and we are having on the world, because we just think, oh yeah, but everybody knows this stuff. And it's like, no, but everybody doesn't know this stuff. And I think that happens in all these industries. And I think that, when people come together, this is when the magic happens. It's those sort of throwaway conversations while you're, queuing for the loo and somebody asks somebody a question. And suddenly you see something or think about something for the first time. And it's like, why did I never consider that? None of us know everything about everything. And I think we're better together. Sure,
Absolutely.
that's a slogan for somebody, isn't it?
We've got things to bring to the equation. And I was recording something yesterday for my subscription Living Journal. Exactly about that, basically about how we forget our expertise, and it's like passing your driving test, isn't it? Like learning to drive in the first place is so flipping hard, and you don't know what's going in which direction and which button to press and what pedal to press, and it just seems impossible to bring the whole thing together. Once you know how to drive, once you've taken your test and you've been driving for a while, it all just happens on autopilot, and you forget how complicated this task is that you are performing every single day. And I think that's the same with our businesses and our natural skills and talents and things that we've just absorbed over the years. We forget how much we've taken on board and how much we do know compared to other people, or what we can do. And it's good to remember that and remind ourselves of that from time to time and not fall into the trap of like, oh, I'm not worthy, not worth it, which is so easily done. What do you think's been your biggest stumbling block on this path on the way through this messy journey?
I think for me, it's been about, well, two things. One thing has been about staying focused and actually doing one thing, because that's something that I would describe myself as sort of multi-passionate. I like to have lots of things on the go in terms of how my brain works. I do get easily distracted, but in a positive way, because I see the potential and opportunity in things. And when I look at things that have worked for various people, I think, oh, that could work for me as well. I'm not what, so I don't sort of tend to put people on pedestals and think, oh, look how amazing they are and what they've done. I look at it and think, look how amazing they've done. I could do that too, and go through that route. But it can mean then being harder to stay focused. And I think the thing that brought it around for me was actually trying to listen more to what I want to be doing rather than having those leadings from other people. Because I think as a business owner, you have days and weeks where you feel better about your business or feel worse, and where the income goes up and goes down. And often, certainly in the early days, these things are very well linked. You can feel like you're putting hours and hours in, don't get paid out the back of it, wonder why you're bothering. And that then opens you up to the shiny penny and the thing that drops up, and you think, ah, oh, maybe that's the thing I'm missing. And you can go down the rabbit hole of then doing the thing and, spending your tax money to invest in a program that you think, well, that's fine because the return on this is great. And by the time I've got to pay my bill, that will be back in. And then it doesn't do what you expect it to do. And that can happen. And we've all done it. I mean, over the years, I mean, I've spent thousands and thousands on training, and Everything has taught me something, but it often hasn't taught me the thing that I went in there to learn. And sometimes the very expensive thing has actually taught me that I did know what I was doing. And actually, what I needed to have done was stick to my guns and
Yes.
not listen to the latest, thinking from whichever online guru, celebrity type person who's saying, actually, this is the way forward for everybody. Because when that doesn't feel right, I think I've got much better at listening to my, if you want to call it intuition, inner voice, just myself, and actually thinking, does this feel right? Do I want to do this or not? And actually taking some time out. And I think for somebody who went through sort of quite a fast, high pressure schooling system, I was never used to doing that because it was right, pass your GCSEs, get good grades, get to your A levels, get good grades, get onto university, get a career, get a job, get married, have kids. It was this process of things that was sort of expected to do. And it's only then when you stop and you actually sit out of it that you think, do you know what? I've built a successful business that's making really good money and I hate it. I was asked a few years ago by somebody as part of a challenge that they were doing was to think about, make a list of all the things that bring you joy. And at the point where I did it, I nearly ended up in tears because I was like, actually, I don't know anymore. I've got so busy doing the things and being on that business treadmill that I wasn't stopping to think about what I enjoyed doing and why. And funnily enough, one of the things I spoke to some people yesterday about when we were looking at some things within a workshop I was running was whether you're enjoying this thing. Of all the options that you have within your business for products and services you sell, how much do you enjoy doing that thing you're selling? Because, yeah, there are always going to be things that we don't particularly enjoy doing. It's like at home, no one really wants to have to clean out the fridge or go to Tesco's or whatever. And some of these things have to happen, but you don't want your whole life full of that stuff. Your life has to also have the things in that bring you joy. And I think your business is the same. It's all well and good having an income stream that brings you in plenty of money, but if you actually hate it and it gives you that downward, oh, I'm gonna have to do that again today, you might want to think about how much time you're spending on it. And it took me a long time to realize that. I think we, certainly I don't feel back in the day there was as much openness about using how you feel about things. It was all very head driven. And I think we've got a bit of a change of that in the world at the moment. And certainly in the online space, it's a lot more prevalent. And actually thinking, how do I feel about this thing that I've been asked to do? Is this a yes, I want to do it, or a no, I don't want to do it, rather than just, oh, it's polite not to say no. You should just say yes.
Absolutely. It's very easy to end up recreating an employment for yourself, isn't it, rather than something
Yes.
you really love.
And actually, you end up being the worst boss in the world because, even as an employee, you've got bathroom breaks. You know what I mean? It's like,
Don't even get a lunch break. It's not fair.
I know.
No, it is. It's very easy to end up kind of hands tied and feeling like you don't have control of this thing anymore, and you're not really enjoying it, and everything else in life suffers again as a result of that. And you have to sort of stop and think sometimes, like, why am I doing this? The whole point of running this thing is so that I get more freedom, more joy, more time, more out of this. And if it's not going that way, then time to step back and reassess. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Sometimes just tuning into that intuition, tuning into what your own mind is telling you rather than being distracted by all the shiny things and all the coaches that know better. Nobody at the end of the day knows you and your business better than you. So, like, nobody knows.
I think also it's
Run this
about
through your
choosing the
way.
right person to work with and the right way to work with them to fill the gap you have at the time you have it. And there's a lot of people that you can end up very easily signing up for something that looks amazing, but actually it's not right for you at the time you are in your life. I saw, for example, a really good thing pop up not that long ago, run by somebody I know, as a day, all based on PR and stuff. And there's some really good speakers going. It's a venue that's reasonably convenient for me. There were lots of things. And I looked at it and I thought, yeah, no, that would be really good. But actually, I stopped to think, actually, is PR really on my agenda for this year? Is this something I want to be focusing on or not? Because if it's not, yeah, it's going to be a nice day out. But do I want to pay for a day out of my business when I could or should be focusing on other things? And that was the decision and the conversation I had to have with myself. Whereas 2 years ago, I'd have seen it and thought, oh, yeah, there's some people there I want to hang out with. Let's go. And I think it's those types of things where Facebook ads for some people are really, really useful. But if you're not at the stage in your business where you actually know what you're self-selling or to who, then actually having Facebook ads is pointless. It doesn't matter if it's only $49. It's still $49 you spent you didn't need to spend, because by the time you are ready to do it, the online world will have moved on and the data will be out of date. So I think it's picking the right thing at the right time. But when you're new to business, that's so hard.
Yeah, it is, and I think part of the process of finding out what works for you is trying all the things. It's kind of double-edged sword, isn't it? You need to
And
like,
sometimes it is just buying that thing to think, actually, I don't want to do that. And you get part of the way into it. The same as, listening to a workshop or somebody with a presenter where you look at the workshop and think, do you know what? I'm not going to be able to do a thing with you. You're going to annoy me. You've got to have that connection with the person that you're working with.
I think you're totally right in terms of like streamlining. The more you can kind of narrow down that focus and say, these things would be lovely, but they're not what I need to focus on right now. I think the more we can do that as well, the more powerful strides forward we can make. And if you listen to most of the people who are making seven figures plus, they focus, they pick one thing and they focus on it and they go for that, and nothing else distracts them. And they're just like so obsessive almost about that thing that they can't help but succeed. So I think there's definitely magic in that. So what other lessons would you share with anybody else on a similar path? Is there anything else that kind of comes up that you think actually that would have been really useful to know at the beginning?
I think the most useful thing, and it's something to be fair that I have done with all of my clients since, because part of the thing that I do, in terms of helping people with their money, some of it is from a professional capacity, but some of it is from my own experience, because I have been there and seen some of these things, and a lot of them are things that I learned the hard way that I then don't want my clients to learn the hard way. And I think the thing that I should have done probably from the outset was have a separate bank account for my business so that I could see what money was coming in and what money was going out. Because it took me a long time to realize that the money I thought I was making in my business, I wasn't. And because of that, I should have done other things to supplement my income sooner. In practice, a lot of businesses when they start don't make a lot of money. And if they don't, it's not necessarily a problem as long as you know that they don't. But when you haven't quite realized, because it's coming into your bank account in dribs and drabs, in and around, you've got your Sainsbury's shopping going out and your petrol and the school dinners and stuff backwards and forwards. It's only then when you get to the end of the month, look at the bank account and think, I've got direct debits coming out in 3 days. Oops. That actually it causes you a problem. Whereas if I'd have realized that, I was only able to pull £600 a month or whatever out of my business each month because that's all there was, I'd have been able to look at that and think, oh my God, I can't pay my bills on that. Where else am I going to find the money? And I'd have thought about using savings or alternative work, or I'd have I've actually made a decision on it. I think I muddled on for too long because I wasn't sure. So that's something I think is important. I think trying to get clear on what you want to do and also what your income goal is and how you're going to earn it, because you can have the most amazing thing that you're doing, but if you're only charging £49 a month and you need to be earning 5 grand to pay your bills, you need to work out how many people are going to be in that and whether that is a feasible way of you doing it. It may well be, and for some people, great. But if you've only got 8 hours a week to work on your business because you've done it around three small children and life, you have to then look at whether your expectations are realistic. And I think also be careful on who you listen to. I would suggest, picking two or three people that you resonate with and being in their world and absorbing their free content and being in their Facebook groups or their podcasts or whatever, and actually not joining every business owner's Facebook group and not joining everything that you can join, because you then end up with just too many options. And I think, periodically I go through mine and I cull loads and loads of groups back down to the two or three that I actually use. I think like I need to focus on this. And although those people, other people are nice people and I'm happy to have them in my world, I can't get distracted by that at the moment. And it changes over time. And then it might be actually now I want to focus more on this or more on this. And yeah, I still see their content pop up, but I don't do anything actively with it, because I think the danger is we all underestimate how much we can fit into the time we have. Yes, over the long term, we achieve amazing things, but in the short term, You know, we all try and put 10 appointments into 4 hours and wonder why it doesn't fit. We all do it, you know. So I think we have to put some tools and some things in place to try and help ourselves a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that. So what would be the hardest part of your journey, do you think? Has there been one particular stumbling block where you've gone, oh, I'm not sure about this, can I carry on? Or have you had any just like really difficult moments?
I think for me, it was just being in that position where you know that you need more hours in the day, but being able to relinquish control enough to have staff, whether that's employed staff or virtual staff or whatever, to hand things over. I've always been a bit of a control freak, which is just how it is. And, you know, and in some ways is a coping mechanism, because when you've been through some times in life where you haven't had very much money and you've had to manage, it can make you quite protective over what you do have. Because, you know, you don't want to be in that place again. And I think because I always focused very much on the customer experience and feel like a lot of my clients, I mean, when I started out, my, you know, my mortgage and protection clients, some of them 15 years later, I'm still working with now. It's great. And, you know, I do know that the name of their dog and that the fact their kids are starting school this year. And you have that relationship that feels a bit more than just someone I know. And I suppose my biggest concern in the early days was, well, if I bring somebody into my business, what if they hack off my people and they leave? You know, I've built this thing and these are my people. And it took me quite a while to sort of mentally get over that. And I started small, you know, I mean, Sally in my office, she started doing 5 hours a week. And then we went up and it was five, became sort of 12, became 20, you know, over time. And I've brought in other people since then. And I've got freelancers that I have for various tasks. And it was a big mindset thing for me to be able to let go of some of that. And I think the other thing that sort of goes along with that is also the whole idea that that quote that people come up with that says, you know, you've only got 7 seconds to make a first impression. I think that is good in its context. It was probably meant at the time. But the danger is that some people like me, can interpret that in a way that means that you end up procrastinating, because you think, if I'm going to do a social media post and put it out there, if this is the only thing of mine you're ever going to see, I don't want to hack you off by you looking at it and thinking, oh, well, that's useless. But because of that, it can mean that you overthink things, because you won't want to put them out because you want them to be perfect, because you want to make sure, if this is the only thing of mine they're ever going to see, the only freebie they're ever going to download or the only email they're ever going to read, I want to make sure I'm not wasting this opportunity. You know, and you can end up in a situation where you don't put things out there because of that. So I think that that's probably the key for me. And I think the biggest thing I've had to realize, which has come up a lot in the last few years in the online world, is just that just because you've seen every piece of content you've put out to the world because you wrote it, doesn't mean everyone else has seen it. You know, the number of times I will speak to somebody who I feel like I have a good conversation with online. I comment on their stuff, they comment on my stuff and blah, blah, blah. And then somebody will send me a message and say, oh, did you see I'm running a day in London next week? And I'm like, no, how have I missed that? You know, and it's like, they've been posting about it every day. There's been emails, they've been, and just the algorithm, it just hasn't happened. And I've done the same where I've messaged people and I said, oh, you know, I'm running a retreat. And they're like, what? Are you? I'm like, yeah. You know, and I think, you know, because we see it ourselves, we forget. So I think it's an exciting place to be, but there's always things we can learn.
Definitely. We're too close to it sometimes, and it is that need for control, isn't it? It's been a big battle for me as well along the way, like from my first business and then moving into the online space again. And like, you're thinking, I can do everything myself and I don't want to accept help. And, you know, I need to make this work. I need to get through this myself and prove something. And actually, as time goes on, you realize that you're not proving anything to anybody and you're just kind of tying yourself
up. I mean, I'm a great believer now in things that if I can delegate things, I do. And, you know, I've got all sorts of people in my world, some of which are people who are employees, some of which are freelancers, some in the UK, some who are overseas, who I get to do various tasks because they are better to do them than me. And they're quicker. I mean, even today, I mean, I've got a free guide that I put out a couple of years ago that the take up on it hasn't been as good as I'd hoped. So I'm going to rename it, rejig it. The content is still amazing. It means going into Canva and playing with graphics and moving words and boxes. And actually, I sent a message to somebody this morning saying, sorting a workbook out on Canva and changing, is this something that you can do or you know someone that can do? Because I can do it, but when am I going to fit that into my life? You know, and I've got to, you know, I suppose I've taken a conscious step that yes, I'm going to have to pay somebody else to do it. I'm not expecting people to do things for free. But sometimes that £30, £100 or whatever is the money best spent. It
Totally.
just is.
Yeah, way better use of your time and energy, and actually helps you create the business you wanted in the first place.
Exactly. So yeah,
Sure.
but it is a mindset thing to get over that need to do all of it.
Definitely is work in progress for many people out there. Fab, thank you, Claire. It's been really great chatting to you today. Lots of
Yeah.
insights there, lots of tips. Final thing, I guess, to finish up with. So where would you love to be headed next? What's on your agenda for the next year or so?
Oh, where's my agenda for next year? So, the thing that I'm focusing on this year is the Wealth Action Club, which is my low cost, high value accountability membership. And the reason that I set it up was that I know there are lots of people who have got financial things to do that just sit there on their to-do list. So, what I provide is a safe space for them to take action on it and to ask their questions and to do those things. I'm really loving it. I ran a membership years ago and absolutely hated it. There was no engagement. It was the wrong people, the wrong price point, and everything. And this I'm loving. People come along to the calls, they ask the questions, they're excited, they're enthusiastic, they want to do things. And even today, I mean, I've had two emails over the last 2 days from people who are coming out of it because they're like, actually, one lady says, I haven't got the time to put in this, so actually, I'm going to leave it for now. I'm really pleased by that. I want the people there who are going to do the things. I don't want to take people's money and just hope they remember or forget to pay me. And no, I want people there. So I'm going to double down very much on that. And then the thing that sort of I think sees the other side of that then is the in-person events and the retreats, because I really miss being in a room with people. I would quite happily be in a room of 30 people and talk to them about my thing and facilitate them through a process. So I've wanted to do that since before the pandemic. It all sort of got shelved. I've got my retreat coming this year, but I've also want to do some other things and just get people together and again help them take action and walk out of there thinking, brilliant, I know what I'm doing. Yes, that's the thing. So that's, I suppose, where I see it going. But you know, again, it's having that, you know, focus to do that.
Yeah, both like lovely ways to hold people's hands and get them actively
Yeah.
moving along that path, because it can feel so overwhelming, can't it, at times when you kind of sat there looking at all this financial stuff that you don't quite understand, and it's a little bit intimidating. And just to have somebody that knows the ropes and can guide you through it is so wonderful and powerful. Excellent
Yay.
stuff. Great, thank you so much. It's been lovely talking to you today.
That is okay.
Where can people find out more about you?
So I'm mainly on Facebook. If we're not friends already, feel free to friend request me and pop up there. And my website is peacetogether.co.uk, or you can find me at clairesweetonline.com. And yeah, there's a whole load of useful content on there that has got everything from blog articles and self-study programs all the way through to how to work with me one-to-one. And it's all in one place. And hopefully you can find your way around it. It's had a bit of an overhaul this year, so I'm really quite pleased with what that's looking like now. So yeah,
Excellent.
hit
Then
me
take
up.
a look. Thank you. I'll pop that in the show notes for anybody who's listening, and then they can pop over and check you out and say hi.
Yay.
Great. Thank you so much. And
That's okay.
yeah, take care. See you soon.